This morning is a bit hectic. We supposed to go home, come here earlier, but I couldn't make it, and there's some computer problem, and there's different things happening. But we commit our time to the Lord. How about we commit the time to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we come before you. We treasure the time we can have this opportunity to know you, to know your heart's desire, and to know how much, how great the salvation we have received for those who believe in you. Lord, we come before you in this time of sharing. Lord, we ask you to take away all the hindrances so that our heart can be open to you, our ear can be listen to your own words, so that we can receive what you want to speak to us, so that no matter speaker or listener, all of us can be benefited in this time because of your presence and of your grace. We just ask you to use your blood to cover us. Forgive my sin. Forgive my indebtedness, so that there's no hindrance by your blood we can share together here. May your will be done. We commit ourselves, our time to you. I pray in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
In my heart, I have a burden, but I'm not sure whether I can share clearly, or I will confuse you more. So as I share, anytime you want to stop me, just try to. I may not be able to respond immediately, but I would like to make this time. I pray that the Lord can use this time so that anyone, if we are not sure about some important truth in God's heart, we can be clear. So the theme of my sharing is assurance of salvation. I'm not sure what you care, right? What you care now or what you care most. This morning, what are you concerning with? This morning I'm concerned with how can I go leave home earlier so that I can, because Yvonne has something to do and I have something to do, and this is what I care this morning. I'm not sure about you. What do you care? What do you think about or concerning with? Or recently, what is the important thing to you? Think about something. You think recently in your heart is important to you. Or last year, what is the most important thing in your heart last year? Of course, we can laugh at a lot of things. We can make fun or whatever. But what is important in your heart? For these important things to you, any of them is worth you even to cut your arm and foot. Are there anything you want even to cut your arm in order to gain it? Or cut your arm in order to avoid it? Anything? Do you have something important to you? So important that you're willing to cut your arm or foot or feet in order to avoid it or in order to gain it? Some people need to cut their legs in order to avoid infection and postponing death so that they can live longer and healthier without even arms or feet. They rather live longer or healthier without feet and arms rather than to die with feet and arms. This is called, I learned a new word, amputation. Amputation is the surgical removal of all parts, all or parts of a limb or extremity, such as an arm, leg, foot, hand, toe, or fingers. You know, about 1.8 million Americans are living with amputation of limb. There's a different reason for amputation. For example, poor circulation, poor blood circulation because of damage of narrowing of arteries, without adequate flow, the blood flow, the body cells cannot get oxygen and nutrients they need from the bloodstream. As a result, the affected tissues begins to die and infection may set in. Another cause is the existence of cancerous tumor in the bone or muscle of the limb. I don't know about medicine. So I learned this from the internet. Jesus asked us to care for our eternal destiny. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43 to 48, Jesus said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame, rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with eyes, with one eye, or with no eyes. But Jesus said, yes, with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast out, cast into hellfire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Cut arms to go to heaven, rather is better than with complete arms to go to hell. A few days ago, a friend of mine who is married, who has no children, he is in marital affairs. He has a mistress. And he said to me, "I am not afraid of hell." He said that he is a Christian. "I'm not afraid of hell. I want to be with my girlfriend." And I said to him, "It's not you don't fear hell, but you don't feel hell is near you. So you don't care and want to continue to sin. If he needs to face the eternal fire from tomorrow, his attitude may be different. Totally different. What is the attitude of sin, towards sin you have now?" Some people said, "I'm not afraid of death." But when he is on his dying bed, he becomes very scared because of the instant knowledge in conscience on death and judgment due to sin by the righteous God. Hell is real. Jesus used some words to help us to understand. Of course, we won't fully understand unless we go there. But while we are here, Jesus used some words, description. The fire is not quenched. The worms does not die. Hell is eternal. Pain is eternal. Everyone has to be right with God as soon as possible. We don't know when we will die and face our eternal destiny. When I was in year 7, I was so excited because I became a high schooler. In Hong Kong, you know, land is very expensive. land is so expensive, so primary school is very small, not big, usually, unless they're very, you know, big private noble school. So when I go to the high school is so big. And I was very excited to enjoy my high school life and exploring the world, the bright new world before me. However, because I grew up in Sunday school, you know, I want to have security of eternity. Otherwise, how can I truly enjoy and freely enjoy my, you know, my new high school life? To me, at that time, it's very attractive. I can learn, I can study, I can play sports, I can do a lot of things. But if I don't have the security of eternity, how can I enjoy all this? So this is a real concern in me. The fear of hell motivated me to seek God. Actually, we should be scared if we are not sure whether we can avoid the eternal hell and we can sure we go to heaven. Today, a lot of people living as if there's no hell, as if man becomes non-existent after death. This is how the people talk about. So they can live as if they don't need to be responsible for what they do and give account to the righteous God for what they have done. This is a false hope, and this is a lie. Eternal hell is an eternal punishment, judgment from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 say that very clearly. For the wages of sin is death. I know you have heard of this many times in Sunday school, but I do hope that this morning you think about what Jesus said. Think about what the Bible said. That means what God said to you. For the wages of sin is death. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it said, and as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So after that is not non-existence. After that is not no feeling. After that, there's judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and to 15, it said, listen carefully. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is real. It's eternal. So everyone should ask the question, how to avoid eternal hell, but have eternal life. This is not something you care for this morning or last year. Even you think some important thing in your life, compared with this, they are not the matter. Because this issue is eternal issue. So how to avoid eternal hell but have eternal life? John chapter 3 verses, we are very familiar with this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What is believing in Jesus? A lot of time nowadays, a lot of people, they say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." What do you mean by that? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 say this. If we like, we can open to turn to this, but I will read to you. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Believing in Jesus is accepting his salvation. Accepting him as your Savior. And also accepting him as your Lord. Because he said in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you confess Jesus to be your Lord. And you confess, God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord? Not from the mouth, in your heart. When you say you are Christian, when you say you are a believer, have you confessed Jesus as your personal Lord? Here say, if you confess with your mouth, of course, it means not only the mouth. Otherwise, you'll be a liar. Here he said, with your mouth, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. So believing in Jesus means accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. And accepting Jesus as your personal Lord. Accepting him as my personal Savior means accepting his forgiveness of my sin by his blood. As 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 say, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Then you are saved from eternal hell. Have eternal life. And you are born again. This born again, sometimes people say, use another word to describe the same meaning, regeneration. Regeneration is a miracle. This is God's wonderful and great work. A new life is born of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 say this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God." Have you born again? Have you been born again? John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is a miracle from God, which we don't fully understand. Just like what it has been mentioned, we can't tell where it's come from and where it goes. We don't quite understand, like a wind blow. Although we don't quite understand, but we can see the impact of this regeneration. Just like when wind blows, we can see the impact of the situation, of the place have gone through wind. The things there has gone through wind. We can see the impact. Although we don't quite understand, but we can see the impact. Jesus is my personal Savior. For a person, he is born again, he is regenerated. The attitude towards sin is changed. Because he accepts Jesus as his personal Savior. When you say you are born again, have your attitude towards sin changed? John chapter 16, verse 8. It talks about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit will help us to convict, have a conviction. This person's attitude towards sin has changed. In the past, when he sinned, not much feeling. Doesn't matter. A lot of time can be fun. But when the Holy Spirit comes, as a person, accept Jesus as his personal Savior, his attitude towards sin changed. Hate sin. Try to avoid sin. Not only because of the punishment and pain brought by sin, but more importantly, dislike sin itself because God is holy. In the past, you sin, you think it's okay, but now you know that it's not okay. You feel uncomfortable inside when you sin. It doesn't mean that you have a sinless perfection. You don't sin anymore. But your whole life direction is changed. It's leaving sin and going towards your holy God. I talk about this because many people, they think that they are saved. Actually, may not be. Even you have been baptized. So this is a serious matter. Jesus is my personal Lord. For a person who is born again, just like what we have said in Romans chapter 10, he confessed the Lord Jesus. So he accepts Jesus as his personal Lord. Jesus is now your Lord, not other people's Lord. Other people's Lord doesn't impact you, but it is your personal Lord. You're willing to let him be your personal Lord because you know he loves you. And he's a good Lord. It does not mean that you have immediately have full strength and full of faith, of absolute submission to Jesus to do all what the Bible said. It doesn't mean that. Or you have all the courage to be martyr today for the Lord. Doesn't mean that. But it means that you'll be willing for Him to be your personal Lord. And you want to please Him. If in your heart you don't want to please Him, you may need to consider whether you are saved or not. This is a serious matter. Your life direction is changed. Your desire to follow Him. You know that He loves you and He is precious to you because He's good. He's glorious. when I was young, year 7, because I'm scared. So I just want, if I have the insurance, security, not going to hell, then I can enjoy whatever I want. I'm not saying sinning. At that time, I'm not a bad boy. But I want to learn or I want to do whatever things I like. But whenever I think about, because I grew up in Sunday school, if God is real, if there's a hell, what should I do? Even I can learn a lot, do a lot of things. Oh, we go into hell. But for me to believe in Jesus, there's some hindrances. Even I don't know the Lord, whether God is existence or not, right? No. Your science can't prove, right? I have a lot of different hindrances. But my heart, I do want to be able to become a Christian. And later I passed some hindrances. I show that I accept Jesus and accept His salvation. Because in the gospel meeting, I raise up my hand or stand up. And then quickly, I got baptized. Because, you know, in baptism, before baptism, you know, you need to talk to some elderly people. No problem with me because I know so much through Sunday school. In my head knowledge. So I easily passed the test. If this is a test, actually it's not a test. But I thought this is a test. All correct answer. I got baptized. But my life hasn't changed. I do my own thing. Towards sin, I know everyone is sinner. So am I. So what? I'm not a bad boy. But sin. I haven't changed anything towards sin, the attitude. So one day I heard, but in my heart I find I want to know the Lord. But how come some people pray in such a real way, but for me, praying just like to hitting the air. So in my heart has a desire. I want to be like them. I want to know the Lord in reality. And somehow the Lord, I don't have enough time, but brought me to a point. And even in school, I will boast I'm a Christian because I think Christian is a good boy, right? Christian, very good names. You know. But when I was in year 7, or year 9, about 2 years, God brought me to a point and revealed to me of my sin. And revealed to me the preciousness of the cross and His forgiveness through by the blood of Himself. And I find that the Lord is so good. So it changed my life. So many years, for many years, I'm not sure, oh, when am I born again? Is it in year 7 or year 9? But this doesn't matter too much. The matter is, I know I'm born again. And this attitude towards sin, attitude towards the Lord, has changed. The life direction has changed. So at that time, I find that the Lord is so good. So at that time, I find that my sin against the Lord is so bad. Sin against other people is so bad. I see the ugliness, the badness of sin. So at that time, I find that all other things are not of value. Basketball, volleyball, I joined different team. I only want to pursue the Lord, read the Bible, go to meetings. Of course, when I look back, when I study, I think study is not useful. When I look back, I think this may be not wise, but I find that my heart has changed. Of course, everyone has their own story of regeneration. Everyone is different. Some people, especially children or young people grow from Christian family, they may not know where's the point of their regeneration. May not be clear. It doesn't matter too much, but we need to have an assurance. We need to know whether we are born of God. Some people, they may have more dramatic change, or some people, they may have a gradual change. Doesn't matter, because everyone is different. The work of the Lord in every one of us is different. But the important thing is we need to know whether we are saved or not. So if you ask me, now, I think I'm not born again when I'm year 7, even if I baptize. But now I'm sure I'm born again. This is an important matter. If you don't have the assurance of salvation or eternal life, then ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to assurance through His words. In Jeremiah, if you seek earnestly, the Lord will show you. This is His desire to show you. But a lot of time, He desires, but we don't desire. Doesn't matter. If you think that this doesn't matter, then quite clearly you will not be born again. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13, He said, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Repeat and emphasize. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." I encourage you. If you are not sure about you are born of God, you are born again. Seek Him wholeheartedly. It worth you to cut your arms or legs in order to avoid hell, in order to have eternal life. Of course, you can't have eternal life, you can't avoid hell by cutting your arm and legs. You know, in the old days, in the past, in Hong Kong, some gambler, they gamble, they cut their fingers, cut their hands, in order to avoid gambling. Of course, tragically, because no one preached the gospel to them, or they don't believe in the Lord, cutting their fingers doesn't help. Sometimes we can have false assurance. If you say that, I believe there's one God, so I have assurance of salvation, then it might be a false assurance. Because devil believes there is one God as well. But devil is trembling. If you say that I have assurance of salvation because I believe Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, He is the Holy One of God, even there, it might be a false assurance. Because in Mark chapter 5, verse 7, the devil speak out, "You are the Son of the Most High God." Devil knows that. Devil believes that. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, the devil says, "You are the Holy One of God." Devil believes that. Devil knows that. But their attitude towards sin haven't changed. So it might be a false assurance for you, even you have that. Devil still opposes Jesus, even knowing that. Keep sinning, not desiring God's holiness. If you say that, I've been baptized, so I have the assurance of salvation, it might be a false assurance. Because some people have been baptized when they were infants, but they don't believe in the Lord when they grow older. Infant baptism doesn't help. You know, some American people might have false assurance as well. You know, the whole country is so corrupted and sinful. Many people keep on sinning. There's a PEW, Pew Research Center. It's a quite famous research center. They say 85% of American population say that they are Christians. 85% of 320 million people. I say, they are just going to church or whatever. They are just, they think that they're Christian. But among those, half of them claim that they are born again Christian. Can you imagine? Over 40% of the world's most powerful nation, a population of 320 million, born again. But when you look at America now, people view pornography at least once a month. You know how much this percentage? There's a few groups. The young people, 79%. The middle, 79%. View pornography at least once a month. Middle age, 67%. Elderly people, more elderly, some elderly people, 49% of the whole nation. Can you imagine? 40% of the whole nation say that they are born again Christian. Are they really born again? In 2007, This is from this statistics from the National Institute of Health. The following one is from the National Institute of Health, the statistic. Premarital sex in 2007. Less than, younger than 20 years old, 75% of people, young people, have premarital sex. Under 44 years old, this spectrum, that means if you ask 144 years old people in America, 95% of them have premarital sex. Another statistic. Divorce, 2004, National Center of Health Statistics, 45.8% divorce. In Australia, it's 42.7%. I quote this statistic in America because I would like to ask a question. Do all people they say or think that they are born again in America are really born again? I'm not a judge, I can't tell. But if you look at the fruits, because the Bible says, not all the people, they say, Lord, Lord, I do this for you, you know, blah, 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 blah. Go to heaven. The fruit is not a condition for us to be born again. But the fruit is a consequence, natural consequence. Are you born again? If you are not sure, ask God to lead you to true assurance. This matter is more important than the thing you concerned this morning, recently, last year. This is a real matter. Once you have got assurance, you can always enjoy the wonderful gift of eternal life and praise God for your eternal status. This is forever secure. Because once a person is saved, become a child of God, he belongs to God, then he will be kept by God. This is the eternal assurance. How to be sure you are going to heaven? In Ephesians, a person who has eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the seal. Also from the Bible can help us for the assurance. Recently, we read 1 John in Bible English Bible study. In 1 John chapter 3, he mentioned two things. Maybe we turn it to have a look. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 6. I read to you. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Very clear. This is not my words, it's God's words. Let me repeat. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Here, sin is a present tense. It's a continuous meaning. Verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he said here, he who sins is of the devil. Listen carefully. If you are not of God, then you are of the devil. No other alternatives. No middle ground. If you're not of God, you are of the devil. This continuous sin is not talking about a person, a real Christian. He has sinless perfection or never sinning again. Doesn't mean that. Christian does sin sometimes. That's why John told us in this letter in the beginning very clearly. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if we sin, we have an advocate, our righteous Jesus before God. He satisfies the righteous requirement of God for us so that we can be reconciled with God and being right with God. So, not continuously sinning doesn't mean we have a sinless perfection. This is a lifestyle. This is a direction of your life. The elderly John mentioned very clearly, if a person keep on sinning, of the devil. If you are not, if you keep on sinning, be careful. So you need to deal with your sin seriously. Of course, sometimes the devil can lie to us so that we have false guilt. The Lord is not displeased us. You know, we are not sinning. Right? But the devil will give us false guilt. The Lord doesn't love us and we are not belong to the Lord and blah, blah, blah. There's no particular sin. We are sinning. But we have overall feeling that we are not good, we are sinning. But this is from the devil. But if you have some particular sin, deal with it. Sometimes if you're not sure, ask the Holy Spirit. Or seek counsel from mature Christian. Help you. Another thing for our assurance to be assured, is in verse 18, or in verse 10, chapter 3. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Quoted. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. If we don't love our brother in the Lord, it seems that we are manifesting. We are children of the devil. We are not children of God. Do you love your brother? Young people, when you gather together, the thing you talk about Is it with love? The thing you talk about, is it encouraging one another to love the Lord, to pursue the Lord? Or something else? Are you loving your brother? While you're having fun to talk, are you loving them? Do you love your brother? Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brothers abides in death. Maybe a person, he's truly passed from death to life. He's truly born again. But he didn't know that. He thought that he's not. It may be possible. But in order to know that he's born again, there's one manifestation. Manifestation is he loves his brother. Verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are the truth of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. I remember when I become a Christian, when I born again. When I come across some Christian, my heart was very joyful. So good, another Christian. Although we may not know well beforehand, but once we know that he's Christian, our heart is joyful. Although when we say, the Bible says you should love your brother, it doesn't mean that, we have full strength and full courage, full faith that today I can die for this brother. Doesn't mean that. This faith, this strength, need to grow. But you have a love. So when you want to be sure of your salvation, based on God's word, ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you. But this assurance needs to grow. Your faith needs to grow. How do you grow? Learn to, by God's grace and his new life given to you, seek holiness. No, don't stay in sin continuously. And learn to love other Christians. This is the way John show us. It will help you to be assured more and more and more. Your faith will grow. Your assurance will grow. Okay. I'm not sure whether my sharing confuses you or make it clearer for you. But my burden is, with the matter of God, it is a serious matter. It shouldn't be. Other people, Jesus is the Lord of that's it. Jesus needs to be your personal Lord. So I do hope that the sharing I have today, I don't mean to shaken your faith, no. But I do hope that you have real faith. In 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. When I say testing, it's not just looking, I'm not encouraging you, looking yourself, analyze yourself, how much sin you have. I'm not saying that. We know ourselves only by God's revelation and God's light. But if you are sinning now continuously, go back home, seek the Lord. Ask the Lord to deal with your sin. Follow me. If you are not, accept Jesus as a personal Lord, you need to be careful. Go back home. Pray to the Lord. Am I born again? Am I sure that I go to heaven? Going to heaven, the condition is not works or what we do. But James told us that there's two kinds of faith. One is real faith, one is dead faith. Dead faith can't help me. Religious faith can't help me. But once a person has real faith, naturally, consequently, have works. The works is not the condition for our salvation, but the work can help us to have the assurance of the salvation. Yes, some people they have their salvation, but they are not sure. Yeah, it can be like that. But this is better than some people they think they have the assurance, but they don't have the salvation. So the main issue is whether you have the salvation. For those people, they have the assurance. We need to be joyful. We should be joyful. And we ask the Lord to help us to appreciate, to enjoy this great truth. Then you can be a joyful person. Even on earth, you come across different kind of difficulties or disappointment. But as you think about, I'm of God. I'm eternal life, my eternal destiny is so good. This joy, you can enjoy today. Even you are in hardship. Even you feel that you are very weak, but you know you are of God. I thank God. Since you and I never doubt I'm of God. Although I sometimes fall down, I sin, I'm very weak. Even I don't like myself, but I know that I'm of God. I hope that you have assurance. This also is the purpose of Elderly John. He wrote 1 John. In chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Or 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son of has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. The purpose of 1 John is to write to those people that believe in the Lord Jesus and help them to know that they have eternal life. So to know you have eternal life is very important. That's why John wrote the whole book. Although this morning you are tired, you can't focus well because last night you sleep late, or you're something else. But one thing I do want you to take home. Ask yourself, are you really born again? Are you really of God? Or it is a false assurance? If you're not sure, I encourage you, pray and seek the Lord And he promises, if you seek him with all your heart, he definitely will show you. And then you have assurance. This is so precious. And let us pray. Sorry, before we end, any questions? Anything or comments? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you. Your salvation is so great, and your love is so great, and sin is so bad. But because you love us, you want us to be of you. You come and die and save us. Now we pray that all of us can be really born of God and have the assurance that we are of God. So that our life is really changed. And our direction and our goal is not the same. So that you, your work can be accomplished on us. And we can know you and give glory to you and enjoy you. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We need to take a break and then we'll get ready for the break.